A very good evening to you listeners of Eagle FM, and welcome to yet an interesting topic right here live in Eagle FM studios right here from the capital city, that is Windhoek. Now tonight in studio we are joined by Dr. Panduleni Itula. Good evening, Doctor.
Hello, good evening, and good evening to your listeners. Mm-hmm. I suppose your viewers as well on your social media.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, of course, Doctor, we are here to talk about IPC's 5th anniversary and achievements.
Right, yes. Mm-hmm. Indeed. Okay. Well, may I start perhaps by thanking the entire Namibian public, and especially the IPC members, the GMCs.
Yeah.
Those are the grassroots that secured IPC to be what it is. But I should probably thank every single citizen that saw the need for a transformation in our society to come and join the forces that sought to bring about change in the IPC and leading to the inception of the IPC on the 2nd of August, 2020. Mm-hmm. But of course, today, the nation also remembers our late president, Dr. Gottfried Hage Kinkop.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he's no longer with us, but we still remember him. And every time when you think about August as an important year, you cannot but think about the crafty nature of how Uncle Hage put words together. Even if he's wrong, he will still be right. And it's also the birthday of Jonas Savimbi, the then leader of UNITA in our neighboring country. Of course, all the wars are over, and we must live together as Africans, whether we were adversaries in the war. Of course, our opponents were the colonial forces. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we come together today to remember the inception of yet a dimension in Namibian political conversations in our land of the brave.
Yeah.
And it's extremely important that we take into account what happened over the last 5 years. I can't believe that it's been 5 years since I walked down into that hall to go and make the opening remarks into that hall where so many Namibians, of course, came together. Mm-hmm. And it was also at the time during the unfortunate COVID epidemic that struck the whole world and basically ground to halt any economic development and political activities as well. Whilst we wanted to have over 800 Namibians from all over walks of life to come and join us in the foundation of IPC on the 2nd of August. In fact, the event itself started on the 30th of July, mm-hmm. going on to the 1st and the 2nd of August as well. And ironically, the 2nd of August in 1957 was also the very day on 35 Somerset Street that Yatoivo and the likes of Andreas Chipanga and the other Salomon and the others came together in Cape Town to found the Ovambo People's Congress as well. Mm. And in 2020, a new generation on the same day and in the same month transformed itself in a new fighting force, as it were, to try. Then it was colonialism and apartheid and contract labor system. Mm-hmm. But at this time, it's the lack of transformative socioeconomic benefits to the Namibian people after independence that drove a lot of the young Namibians to come together. To form the IPC, of course. That was a fundamental period in Namibia, and people came and ridiculed us and say, this will go down like all the others, the CODs, the RDPs, and the others. But here we are 5 years later, and IPC is growing and growing and growing. And only today I got a report from Kavango West that our members had a recruitment drive, and they actually, you know, if it was military terms, you would say captured two SWAPO commanders and two PDM commanders in Kavango West who surrendered to IPC. Okay. So it's absolutely wonderful, but one cannot, as president of the party and now president of the official opposition in the Republic of Namibia, thank all those that marched with us on so many of the journeys that I've traveled in this country over the past 5 years. And in fact, after the independent presidential candidate, over something like 45,000 kilometers and more that I've driven, and I've marched on the streets of almost every town in every village in this country to herald the message of change and transformation and to bring about change in the governance of our republic. So it's an absolutely remarkable day. It's an important day, especially in the family of the IPC. And it's an important day in the democratic governance of our republic. If there is anything like that at the moment in our republic, democratic governance doesn't seem to exist in our country, and we'll get into those details. And as we say, as they say in Namibia, start unpacking the 5 years of the existence of the Independent Patriots for Change. And congratulations to every single IPC patriot and every single sympathizer, every single participant in our activities, every single supporter, every person who donated to the IPC financially and otherwise to allow us to take every step in our journey of 5 years to be able to achieve what we have achieved at this stage, and we'll go over those 5 years as well.
Of course. Now, Doctor, let's get right back to the roots. Of course, you mentioned the roots right there as well. But let's get back to 2019 as an independent presidential campaign, which was held in 2019, where you secured 29% of the vote. Now, of course, this was the best performance by a losing candidate in Namibia's history, which exposed disillusionment with SWAPO and by the foundation for IPC's formation. Exactly, just describe that for us. How was it? How was the campaign like? And how was, of course, the votes coming out?
Right. Point of correction. I was not a losing candidate.
Okay.
And there are no losers in any contestation, because no contestation will exist without participants. Those that has been unsuccessful, directly as a result of what has been evaluated or by manipulation, have never been losers. And you would not consider anyone to be a loser who's still here talking about the same thing. It's a question of, you do not climb Kilimanjaro with 200 steps in one go. You have to go stage by stage. The independent presidential candidate was a significant starting point in the Independent Patriots for Change. And if you look at the abbreviation, they are both IPC. And it was brought about because of a clear and well-evaluated recognition of the lack of governance and democratic governance in the Republic of Namibia. And it was important at that time to sit down, and I thought about it, and I said, what is the best thing that can be done? A new political party at this stage will be completely suicidal. There have been too many political parties, and they are still today as we speak coming in. And the best thing was to test the ground with the Namibian people, first of all, to create an understanding and rapport between myself and the Namibian people.
Yeah.
But I needed to do it in a way that will not immediately be seen as seeking to contest for the presidency of the republic. And hence the creation of a document called the Independent Presidential Candidate, some 25 pages that sought to explain and elicit the democratic rights that citizens have, especially in Article 17 of the Constitution and Article 10 of the Constitution. And having expounded upon the meanings of those constitutional provisions, provided us with a means of understanding that all citizens shall have the right to participate in political activities, peaceful political activities, intended to influence the composition and policies of government. And that was the fundamental statement that our forefathers and our founding fathers in our republic made when they put together the constitution. And that brings us to 1776, of the very first constitution in America when the likes of James Madison came together to put together the constitution that brought about the creation of the unitary states of the United States of America, from which many of the constitutions of some 136 countries in the world are actually based. And our constitution has been repeatedly called the most democratic liberal constitution that has actually opened up the doors for so many Namibians to exercise their birthrights as citizens of the Republic. And of course, it was a compromise constitution. It was a constitution that came out of a conflict situation, and it was a give and take. But it gave us one fundamental thing for the Namibian people: to be able to participate in political activities unlimited by any other subordinate rules from any other institution. And unless we understand the principle of freedom of association, we'll not be able to understand the formations of political entities such as political parties. But when that document went around, I needed now to get an understanding within the Namibian people of understanding the most important document amongst all the other documents, of course, other than the Bible for 96 of our Christians. The most important document, and that is the Constitution, the biggest weapon that every citizen has to create a life that you really aspire to.
Yeah.
But how do you go about it? Ignorance in many aspects is the most dangerous value of human nature. And when you call it a value, perhaps ignorance should never be a value. And many of our people were ignorant, meaning they were not aware of the fundamental rights in the Constitution, and there was very little civic education about the rights of citizens. And that took me around. Initially, when I had this idea, born out of the 2017 SWAPO Party Congress then, I brought it to the attention of a few senior members who were very adamant that that is not possible. But later on, many of them up to date, many senior members of the SWAPO Party who believed in the founding principles of the SWAPO Party of freedom, you know, justice and unity, still continue in their dungeons, as it were, behind screens to support the independent presidential candidate and to support the independent Patriots for Change as the only solution to Namibia's woes socioeconomically and otherwise as well. And when I then decided the best thing I needed to do was to educate the Namibian people. And we launched, I went straight from Windhoek. On the 28th of February, 2019, it came known by a number of elements within the SWAPO Party that Itula is busy putting together an idea of the independent presidential candidate. And they sought to come to my house to ransack it and find the document and destroy it. But it was too late. At 2 o'clock, I released that document on the 28th of February. And only one newspaper, which prints late, the Windhoek Observer, carried the article and the documentation. And in April of that year, 2019, I did my first lecture to the Namibian people in a Kamuti lodge in Ondangwa, where it was actually broadcast through social media, and thanks to some of the wonderful journalists that were so good at broadcasting it. And it went viral, and it went all over the whole country. And from April onwards, I was then on the run. I was on the go, as it were, through all the towns and villages. And as I went around, I established what I called my foundational commanders in every single region and in every single constituency. It took me approximately 3 months to go through that. 5 months, I was settled. And at the same time, I needed to collect 7,000 signatures, 500 from each constituency, from each of the region of the 14 region in the whole country. And that then led to my registration. But the registration on the 16th of October in fact, coincided with the establishment of Eagle Radio, early, I think, 2-3 months beforehand. Mm. And that was the time that I came down to this station for almost 3 hours and 53 minutes, having actually spent a lot of time with the various journalists being interviewed, having been the very first and the only so far independent presidential candidate ever in the Republic, and also in many African countries as well. So that was the initiation, the seed that planted the Independent Patriots for Change. We needed to start from somewhere. Starting from a political party would have been very difficult. Mm-hmm. And given the previous political parties that have started, CODs, RDP, etc., they all started from the top, as it were. Now, coming to IPC itself, in April 2020, and that is after the electoral process, which we challenged, which we then challenged, and thanks to the financial support of a lot of people, including business people and individuals as well, we were able to approach the Supreme Court and then made the use of electronic voting machines without paper trails illegal in the Republic of Namibia. And that's why today, even the elections that we are facing in November, it will be on ballot papers. And that was quite a victory against injustice, as it were, because it was not within the democratic principles of Namibia to have electoral processes that is not justified. Because when you press the button on the electronic voting machines, you could not verify that you actually have voted for that, because there was no printout. It's like going to the shop to buy something, and when you bought it, there's no receipt to say exactly what was your change, etc. So we were successful, incredibly, to have had the judiciary of our three arms of the government, as it were, to agree with us that the use of electronic voting machines without a paper trail was unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. Notwithstanding that stand of the agreeing judiciary with the independent presidential candidate then, the elections were still considered to be constitutional. And we then started our first, in my experience, of unjust democratic principles being applied. Mm-hmm. And the need for the independent presidential candidate, I remember sitting in my room and thinking that, what now? Where to now?
Yeah.
You brought all these people out, some of them from different political parties, to come and join you and follow you in your march as the independent presidential candidate. But what then will come out of this?
Yeah.
We cannot start something. You can't plant a seed in the ground and not nurture it and allow for it to grow into a big tree. But today's big tree is as a result of careful thinking and careful determining, not only forming a political party for the sake of forming a political party. Mm-hmm. And I will not be criticizing anybody to exercise their democratic rights to seek to form a political party and to seek to associate with such formations.
Right.
But what we actually had to think about very carefully is, why did we need to form IPC?
Mm.
Why is it that IPC was necessary at that juncture in our democratic growth and in our maturity in our democracy as well? And why was it tolerated to start with? And it was quite important that the people that came to join IPC, many of them never belonged to political parties. And I remember April 2020 when I was in Walvis Bay to establish the first branch. But that is after I spent 4 months writing the constitution of the party.
By yourself?
By myself. So every single word in the IPC constitution was typed by my little fingers, as it were. And I went through it all. And I had to look at constitutions of different countries, political parties. I looked at the constitution of Ghana, of one of the political parties there. I looked at Botswana. I looked at in Tanzania. I looked at Kenya, Seychelles. And I looked at what best fit, because there was no point me inventing the wheel when the wheel was there. I was only to change the spokes so that they fit to our environment and circumstances and align with the thinking of the Namibian people. And I established the first branch. I can't remember the date really well, but all branches were based on constituencies. So I established the first branch of Walvis Bay Urban. And it's quite significant because Tate Kuluvini and Daddy was the chairperson of the then Ovambo People's Congress, Ovambo People's Organization of the Walvis Bay branch. And it's from Walvis Bay that he became a stowaway on a fish meal ship that was going to Brazil to try and go to the United Nations. So linking it with that sort of historical event, and he's still around. I think he's now striking towards 97 or something like that. You know, may he live even longer. I then went in the afternoon to Swakopmund to go and establish the second branch, and then I went to Arandes to go and establish the next branch. And the next day, I went to Usakos, Karibeb, to establish the next branch of the Karibeb constituency, and then Okahanja before coming back to Windhoek. And then through that month of April, I hit the north and I started establish branches in every constituency, and then also giving other people the responsibility to expand and establish. So by about August, by about July, we had so many branches in every region. And we now needed people to come to the founding convention of the party. Mm-hmm. But because that time it was COVID and we were only allowed to have 250 people gathering together, we had to go to the police. And I remember the inspector general then saying that, you know, there's nothing we can do. Your limit is 250. Yeah. Instead of 800, we had to reduce it down to 230, making space for journalists, etc., because it was quite fundamental.
Yeah.
And I remember that morning of the Friday, I woke up and I asked myself the question, what am I doing? Am I doing the right thing?
Yeah.
And then I thought, okay, let me go at a quiet place. And I went to quite a heroic quiet place.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, and I didn't get any negative vibes.
Okay.
And I was trying for 3 days to write a speech, an opening speech and a closing speech. And I didn't succeed. And I thought, what is it? I'll leave it to the moment. And then when I was called by our patriot who introduced me, Patriot Nusiku, who's our regional chairperson in Omsati, I stood up and I went up there, and then the words just started rolling.
They started flowing.
It was completely original. Mm. It was not something I planned on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
It was from the bottom of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that was in the audience and those that were listening, some of them were listening on the phone because Erongo was locked out. And I had to actually take the mantle of leading people in a new era of formation of a political party. And it was extremely daunting. Daunting in the respect that, you know, you have taken up something where a lot of many leaders actually started. But many leaders started, of course, supported by others as well.
Yeah.
And I've taken up that responsibility. And I wasn't sure at that time that the direction that we are going to be going and how long for. But change was so fundamental to that WAF move. And that constant as change is still prevalent today. And I regret not an iota of the decisions I've taken, of the decisions I convinced others to come, the six core members that I recruited and say, look, let's get ideas together. Let's work out the flag. And because the independent presidential candidate had the Namibian flag, we needed to keep close to the Namibian flag.
Yeah.
And because the Namibian flag is red in the middle, we said, yes, we know blood has been spilled in the independence of the struggle for independence of our country.
Mm-hmm.
Let's concentrate on our wealth as the center one. That's why the gold in the flag. And then later on looked at what are the symbols that we need? You know, because the symbol of the African power was the sort of power like that. And one need to distinguish that there are about three political parties in Namibia that uses the power side. The SWAPO one is a straightforward arm above the head.
Yeah.
It's not the African power, and people need to distinguish between these.
Mm-mm.
The UDF one is a single fist with just a little bit of the rest in it, as well. So we needed to be careful that our symbol does not mimic the others and it's not the same as the others.
It's quite unique.
But then we realized that the difficulties that are in Africa is not only going to be managed by one power. It needs both of us to lift it all up, and hence the origin of that. But also, when we were political prisoners, every time that you are released from prison, you raise your hands up to the sign of freedom, as it were. So I thought, well, that will be the day that we will take the transformation of Namibia, raising those hands up. And there were then the chains as well of that symbol. With one chain broken, we defeated the resistance not to form a power. And then the other five links in the chain, we need to break. One of it was corruption. Others was democratic manipulation in the electoral process, such as the rigging of elections. And others was economic freedom as well. And above all, jobs as well. So we looked at one thing, that the central evil in Namibia is lack of employment, lack of jobs, and get jobs around that will actually be able to solve a lot. And we put it together, five of us. We created a WhatsApp group, the inner circle, and then I created another one, the outer circle. And 5 years later, that is still there, and I was still reading some of the messages I used to post in 2020 when we were establishing the party. And some of the message and most of them are still relevant. So the entire impetus, the entire sort of energy is still there. And then therefore come straight into, within 3 months of formation, straight into the establishment of the party and then participating, because we launched it before it was registered. So after that, we had to go and get 3,500 signatures evenly distributed in all the region's constituencies, seven of them, and then present it to the ECN for us to be registered as a political party. And just towards the end of August, we were registered and we were able to register in participating in the electoral process in October the 18th, I believe, and then participate in the November election, where we actually succeeded to get so many local authority councils and five regional councils. And that was a feat never having been done by any other political party in the history of Namibia.
Yeah. And Dr. Why we are there, just exactly how did IPC leverage its local governance success to amplify its national appeal ahead of the 2024 elections?
Right. It was very, very difficult. We had inexperienced local authority councillors, from which some of them became mayors, such as Oranjemund and Walvis Bay and Swakopmund, and also people who did not have any knowledge whatsoever about local authority governance, let alone being politicians. They were lay politicians at that time. And it was critically important for us to have several inductions. And I traveled with other of my colleagues around the whole country giving inductions to our local authority councillors to make sure they understand their principal object as local authority councillors, that of service delivery. But they also understood that they were the politicians in the locality, but they were not the executors of the decisions that they take as politicians. The executors were the employees of the council, the CEOs and all the others in all the departments. People tend to forget that a local authority council is an entity with various departments. Various departments that are designed to deliver services to the local community in that locality.
Yeah.
The politicians in the chambers, that is the local authority councillors, may make decisions. The execution of those decisions is in the hands of the executives in the local authority. It's the same as central government. Parliament may make the laws, decisions, and then they send it up to cabinet. The various heads of departments in those cabinet go to their ministries and then seek their administrative branches, the fourth branch of government, to implement the decisions of the representative of the sovereign. That is the representative in parliament. Yeah. And it's the same thing. The local authority councillors are representative of the electorate in that decision making, but they are not the executors of the decisions. So if we say there is potholes, classic, you know, in Walvis Bay, the people to go and actually fill those potholes are not the councillors. You are shooting the wrong person.
Yeah.
It is actually the employees of the councillors or those who have been given tender by the authorities, executive authorities in the council itself to go and close the potholes.
Yeah.
So for a citizen, a local citizen in the locality, if the potholes are not closed, it's not because the councillors have not made the decision. It's not because the councillors did not drive over those potholes in a taxi or in their own cars. Mm-hmm. It's because the person who won the tender did not implement the requirement of the tender within that period of time to actually close the potholes. Mm-hmm. But at the same time as well, when one looks about nature's element, rain, etc., the materials that are used, for example, to amend these potholes are made of certain chemicals that may not be resistant to the environment itself, and they break up and they recur. You know, when you look at countries in the world, potholes, why are they called potholes? Who called them first potholes? In Africa, we didn't have those roads with potholes. They come a long way ever since the Chinese invented the wheel that led to the motorized wheel vehicle. And all those countries that then done that, the Germans, etc., had potholes. When you go to Edinburgh next time, when you go to Scotland, it's the capital of potholes in the world. But it doesn't mean that various government officials have not taken the decision to close them because of that. So our people in 2020, when they first went into council, they were facing an incredible difficult situation. They were all novices. They were lay politicians at the local level. They didn't even understand political maneuvering. They didn't understand some, you know, inborn decision making as well. So it was upon, it was a very difficult time for the party to educate and to call various workshops. And of course, at that time, we were not in government, so we could not rely on other authorities to assist us.
Yeah.
So it was quite challenging, but we managed to have had three councillors in each of the Omthia, Onipa, Ondangwa, Ongwediva, Oshakati, and they did pretty well to understand the needs of the locality. And that was achieved in a short period of 3 months. And also two in Omthia, Utapi, Rakana, and Okahao, and Helao Nafidi, and Enana. And we concentrated principally on towns, not so much on the village councils. And this is the reason why we never actually got much in Aroab, in Coes, in Betanie, in Berseba, and walking our way down into Ochinene, and then some other village council like Vukalo, for example, and also in the areas of Kunene. But we were successful in most of the 37 out of the 57 local authority. We concentrated as a matter of strategy, not planning. The strategy was we must hit the capital. We must hit all the coastal towns. And we must hit all the northern towns. And then in the middle of Chivarongo, Tsume, Grootfontein, we put minimal efforts into it. And we put a lot of effort as well into the main economic centers of Oshakati and Ongwediva and Ondangwa in that area there. And because that is where our maximum people, but we did not neglect the south. We also had a councillor in Karasberg, right down deep in the south as well. And of course, Oranjemund, which is still up to now under the leadership of IPC. And I was absolutely delighted about two days ago, the mayor of Oranjemund actually sent a message to me to say, we are now going to hand over houses, I think it's 78 houses or something like that,
yeah.
That they actually, and a road has been constructed under the IPC, and 78 houses or so are going to be given to the people that were looking for houses. And it's a beautiful scheme that they are putting together to allow people to buy houses over a period of time. I'm not quite sure what it was, and I'm not quite sure whether they've passed it yet, but they are looking at an idea of how to give people who cannot afford housing to get houses by paying something like 800 a month over a period of time. Now, when you go back to the
1950s,
sort of a rent buy scheme.
Mm-hmm.
When you go back to the 1950s, when all the locations were built in Namibia, then Southwest Africa, we did not own the houses. We had two-roomed houses, three-roomed houses, four-roomed houses, and all these roomed houses were priced at 2 rand 40, 3 rand 60, 4 rand 80. And you go to the municipality every day, every month to go and pay.
Yep,
And it was saying, paying cop tax, you know, head tax as it were.
Yeah.
So we didn't own the houses. But after independence, of also it was necessary for everybody to say that, look, some of these people have paid these houses for 40, 50 years. It's time that we hand them over to them. So it's the same idea in Oranjemund, of course. And also our councillors now, those who are still in leadership, are now verging to being experts. They now understand the problems in their communities, because local authority councillors is about service delivery. It's at the pit, the pit face, as it were, you know, the mining face where everything is seen to happen. Underneath there, you don't know what's going on. But local authority is where government is where service delivery is. And that is where we are going to be concentrating in November as well. But we now have got well-experienced local authority councillors. But I should not leave behind our regional councillors as well. And we've got some of our brilliantly outstanding regional councillors. You know, I tend to think about Paulus Mbangu and Mupetami in Okachali. Paulus Mbangu is in Rundu Rural. And then Terako in Walvis Bay Rural. Now, it doesn't matter which political party and whether they are independent.
Mm.
Those three regional councillors are actually understanding the principle of the role of a principal councillor, where they actually hand over services to the people. They are constantly in the news. They are constantly in the news for the right reasons, for working hard. So the initial stages of the IPC into governance in the local authority was absolutely critical. But one thing that we did not tolerate, and still principally what we do not tolerate, is corruption by our members. Any signal of corrupt practice or tendencies by any delegated representative of IPC in local or regional, the principle of justice applies instantly. We will ask you to show cause why you should still be a representative delegated by the party. And a lot of our councillors stuck to the principle of the party. We did not have to use the stick a lot. The carrot was used a lot.
Yeah.
But those that got themselves in real dirty situations, we got rid of them. We just withdraw them. And when we were even restraining councillors for wrongdoing, while we are telling them this is the right way to do, and also withdrawing them. We had one in Marinta, wrongdoing, withdraw them. One in Kalkran, wrongdoing, withdraw them. One in Omthia, wrongdoing, withdraw them. One in Onipa, wrongdoing, withdraw them. And one in Oshakati, young, 22 years old, but could not cope. And you ask yourself the question of saying, you know, the young people say that they want to go into governance.
Yeah.
But when they are given the opportunity to actually excel, you know, it's difficult to determine who was the right person. Was it the right candidate that was delegated? But they were supposed to be representative of their generation to say that, look, I've been given this opportunity, not only to represent the party, but to represent my generation, to say that we've got what it takes to be able to govern in the Republic of Namibia. So our councillors were aware, should you behave and conduct yourself inappropriately and contrary to the principles of justice and the principles of rule of law, we will withdraw you.
Of course.
It's the same that has been existing, and we are also applying it as necessary should the occasion arise to the members of parliament that IPC, which I will talk about a little bit later, now also have to. So, just coming from a political party establishing on the 2nd of August, then we had added responsibilities looking after local authority and regional council members as well. But at the same time, growing the membership of the party and being true to the principles of the party of grassroots participatory democracy. This is the only party that actually have got that emphasis, where we believe that a bottom-up relationship is very important in strengthening. So you might say, in the last 5 years, we were concentrating principally on deepening the roots of the party in the Namibian populace. And alongside that deepening exercise as a strategy, we were also allowing the upward growth of the party and the broadening of its wings, as it were, to be able to be covering all the citizens. And we are the only political party in the Republic of Namibia that truly has crossed the boundaries of tribalism. We are everywhere in every area of this republic, given the time period that we were established in the local authorities, as far south as Karas. So we are not a tribal associated political party or a regional confined political party. Yeah. Our true national character comes out when you see all our political representatives in the regions. Every region is represented. Every single one of the 121 constituencies are represented in the decision-making processes of our party, from the top of the steering committee and the executive and the presidency and the national general secretary to the bottom of the branch executive, which is the principal unit of the party, where we've got one branch. If there is only one branch in a constituency, of more branches in a constituency. And we've got constituencies like Tobias Anyeko that has got up to 20 branches, and people are places like Simbinda in the Zambezi region. Out of the 8 constituencies there, we've got 31 branches there all over this country.
Yeah.
And this is the reason, as president of the party, I needed to have first-hand knowledge of our party everywhere where we've got our branches, up to Oshitenda in the northwest, 170 kilos north of northwest of Opuo, up to right down in Ausenker and Komsberg in the south, and the far east of Ochombinde, and the far west as well of Uis. All of these places, we've got our members. So IPC is the only political party that is able to say we are truly national. And that is very important, because there are a lot of people talking about uniting Namibia, one Namibia, one nation.
But the facts
Where they stop, basically, their actions are not that of uniting Namibians. Our actions are, and it's reflected even in our parliament, parliamentary delegation as well, which is a result of absolute democracy. So our councillors had difficulties at the beginning.
I hear you. In other words, for the people, by the people.
Well, suppose that is the old American thing. You know, we the people, you know, the American Constitution is brilliant. We the people come together for the people, by the people. And that's George Washington and all the other chaps who actually came about with the initial Constitution.
Yeah.
We the people. And that means it is we the people of the Republic of Namibia that must stand up and look very carefully and say, which political party really seeks to transform the manner in which we are governed in order for us to live, to leave democratic constitutional governance in this republic. Democratic constitutional governance in the Republic of Namibia does not exist in its entirety. It's only a fraction of it. Because when you look at a lot of other things that I don't want to go into, yeah, whether it's the three organs of government, whether it's the fourth organ of government, as it were, the administrative organ, the branches, the commissions, etc., there isn't really any democratic governance in there. It's a spillover of winner takes all. Now, if you have got proportional representation of the sovereign, the decision makers in parliament, then those that execute those decisions must also be proportionally representing the will of the people. We, the people, does not exist in the democratic governance of Namibia, but we, the people, exist in its full execution in the IPC. And I'm particular about ensuring consultative decision-making processes that are collectively arrived at and executed. And I have been with our National General Secretary since the inception of our party, since she first came. And I said, well, welcome, I am looking for a National General Secretary.
Yeah.
And I spent 3 hours with her going over the constitution. And I remember reading to her Article 2.4, our principle. Mm-hmm. It's premised on the principle of grassroots participatory democracy, rule of law, justice, dignity, freedom, integrity, and above all, honesty and transparent accountability in public office. Mm-hmm. And I said, that is the principle that you need to home in understanding every day when you stand up as an IPC member, when you go and carry out your responsibilities, what is it that you are relying on that carries you and gives you that impetus and that energy to serve the people of Namibia? And when we really have got the 7 leaders within the IPC, what we are looking for is transforming them into become the 7 leaders within the broader nation of the Republic of Namibia. So it's critically important that our delegated representative take up that principle and carries on. And they have done so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doctor, let's pause right here, take a commercial break, and then we'll be back to continue with our interview.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Sotara milonga tate,
And we are back. And of course, you are tuned into Eagle FM right here on your number one talk radio station. I'm now joined in studio by Dr. Panduleni Itula, who is the official leader of the opposition party and the IPC president. Now, Doctor, of course, we're talking about the 5-year anniversary of IPC.
Yep.
Let's get back to the 2024 elections. What tactics or strategies did IPC use to actually get 20.2% and coming as the official opposition leader?
Before I come to that, somebody just sent me a message. It was quite weird and said that, Dr. Itula, you talked about a new transformation, a new change, etc. But he was saying, what do you think about the new coinage that has been launched on Friday?
Yeah.
And he said, what specifically do you think about the 10-cent piece? And I thought to myself, I remember being at the launch and I was thankfully invited to be there. And I love being here as part of the Namibian leadership. And I was taken back by the design of the 10-pence coin.
Yeah.
You know, 10-cent coin, as it were. On one side, you've got Omahangu. Two of them, the stocks.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, you've got quite sort of biblical, sort of really holy hands. One, the inferior hand is at the bottom, and the superior hand is on the top. And the superior hand is the giving one.
Yeah.
And then people said there was something posted apparently saying autere. Now, autere means
give me
some, you know, you are begging.
Mm.
It's not something we should be associating with a country that is seeking to develop its people. We are imparting a message in the minds of our generations that we will be forever, especially with the dollar. Yeah, it's a dollar, not actually the 10 cents. It's a dollar, $1. We will forever be begging money. And this is what actually characterized Namibia's economy over the 30 years. We have been taking loans and loans and begging with a basket. I know people used to ridicule the previous administration about autere, autere, autere. Now, that is a wrong image. You know, transactions are a two-way street. Everyone in any economic transaction stands to benefit. And we cannot have a transaction that subordinate somebody else in a receiving hand and put another one in a superior hand of giving. If we really want to impart upon economic transactions, it must be a two-way street on equal basis. That mentality that's created on one side of the new dollar coin, it's wrong. And I hope that the Bank of Namibia will have to think about it. On the other side of it, you then have got the two Omahangu stocks.
Yeah.
Now, you remember that when Omahangu was sent around to the NDF, it was sent to all the military bases. But when it went into Kiatmanswap and some parts of the south where they were predominantly, where there is a lot of Nama people and Herero people, they said, but we don't eat Omahangu. So what is the image that we are trying to project to the world? Omahangu is not a commodity in Namibia that brings in foreign currency because we don't export Omahangu. And I cannot see the significance of Omahangu on a Namibian trading coin. Something else could have been there. We could have been put beef there, cattle there, or any other commodity that we actually export.
Grapes.
Why would we? Yeah, grapes, you know, notwithstanding that we don't consume them that, but in Namibia. What are we trying? What message are we sending to the people of Namibia with that $1? And the small one, the 5 cents, is so small that people will throw it away. It's a waste. You know, you see them on the street. Have you seen a 5 cent sitting there? Do you pick it up? You don't. Because it's worthless. We need to create currencies that is worth something everywhere to everyone of our people. But even the poorest of the poor, when they see a 5 cent there, they know that they can't buy any bread at all. Here we've got a $1 depicting a begging nation.
Yeah.
And the basic unit of our currency being the dollar. is actually telling us that we are a begging nation. Unfortunately, IPC would want to change that into a nation that is resilient, self-reliant, able to produce. And this is what is critically important in Namibia, jobs. Mm-hmm. The young people don't want to be beggars. They don't want to be given things for free. Young people in this country wants to get jobs, job opportunities, so that they can create and build their own future. And that dollar is diminutive in the manner in which our people are aspiring to become self-sufficient. And self-determination was the principle of the liberation struggle. Just a diversion to that one. Mm-hmm. And thanks to the person that sent in the question. And I understand there is quite a lot on social media going on about that. I'm hoping that the Honorable Governor of the Bank of Namibia, my dear good friends, Johannes Kavachap, will be able to look at that and to say really, truly, perhaps we did not consult sufficient enough for us to be able to say this is representative of the wishes of all our Namibians, given that it's our currency, we the sovereign, mm-hmm. and we the people mm-hmm. must decide as to what is in the best interest of ourselves.
Absolutely.
Your question pertains to the 2024 electoral process.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in all electoral processes that the IPC participated in, we needed to develop two things. We needed to develop a winning strategy and also develop a winning plan. How do we execute to achieve this goal of this strategy? We've got the vision, but we needed a strategy. And the strategy was that we need to win in every single constituency. But how do we actually win in every single constituency? What elements are necessary to be implemented and to be designed to be fundamental in ensuring that the electorate will be able to be delivered upon them our message of change and transformation that has got an ethical principle of governance and also a democratic constitutional governance principle? And in that regard, ensuring that we will be able to govern with checks and balances coming from the public, but maximally given the mandate. We were assured of our strategy. Our strategy worked perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And we needed one. We needed people that are convinced that IPC is the change,
mm-hmm.
that where they were prepared to sacrifice. And I thank our regional leaders, our constituency leaders, but above all, our GMCs, the ground mobilization commandos of IPC. That's what GMC stands for.
Yeah.
Ground mobilization commandos. That is, they are on the ground at the grassroots, speaking and convincing and delivering the policies of IPC to them and selling them and say, this is what we are going to do if you give us the ultimate power to be able to govern over your affairs.
Yeah.
When you go and vote, you delegate your self-determination to us to govern on your behalf, to make laws on your behalf. And that was the strategy. And that strategy worked perfectly well, where we had weekly reports of recruitments by our GMCs. And the other strategy that started back in 2022 was this, that we cannot launch the electoral process
mm-hmm.
a short period before the elections. No. And I constantly said that IPC is not frogs that only appear during the rainy season.
Mm-hmm.
So we launched the electoral process 30 months in advance on the 22nd of April, subsequent to a National Council of Patriots meeting. And we launched it at Okapale. But subsequent to that, we needed also to understand that we need vehicles. We had to work out a strategy to have a presence of at least one vehicle in each of our 14 regions. And we had to work out a plan to make absolutely sure that we can get vehicles. And we went into an agreement with an entity mm-hmm. that then said, that's fine. I was going to be studying my business. You can take the vehicles. And they were new. And I said, okay, fair enough. We can take those vehicles. And should we then, at the end of it, wish to acquire them as assets of the party, would you be willing to sell them all to us, should you not find it necessary at that time to use them for the purposes. And because when you are giving them, they will be subjected to all wear and tear, etc.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, if you don't want them anymore, we will also enter into an agreement that we may have to purchase them. Now, it's perfectly fine for our local local members in towns and villages, and that is the villages in the south, to be able to walk up and down. But when you come into the traditional landscape of our Omaheke, Ochodonjupa, Okakarara areas, and Kavango, and Kunene, and Korihas areas, etc., when you go into Zambezi, and also the 4O regions, a lot of the people live very far from each other. You need transportation, and we need funding to be able to get our people there. It's legitimate to campaign.
Mm-hmm.
But politics and campaigns and democracy is expensive. And people need to understand that there isn't any way anywhere in the world that a political party will go and campaign without there being money. You know? And we need to work out how do we get money? Where do we go? And a lot of people had to contribute to us. We had loads of people just in the first, as was the case in 2020. We had a single individual whom we went to. And then she spoke to me and she was convinced this is the right thing. And she gave us 1 million. Before I landed back,
yeah,
came back into Windhoek,
mm-hmm,
on the Thursday,
mm-hmm,
there was 1 million in the IPC account in 2020 at that time. And that is the one that took us as a baby,
mm,
to go and get all the nappies, as it were,
mm-hmm,
to be able to survive,
yeah,
the onslaught of campaigns of, and also registering our councillors as well. And it was critically important as well in 2024 to have everything well in advance ready to be able to participate in the democratic electoral process. Now, we were convinced at the beginning with all our strategies and our planning and the training of our agents and ensuring that we've got observers as well, that everything will go fine. We close all the doors. One thing we did not know is that there will be a manipulation of our democratic process by the executive, the judiciary, and the Electoral Commission of Namibia itself. A manipulation that is akin to no democratic constitutional governance at all. In that, when we were progressing throughout the campaigns, we were getting reports. The membership was going up to 450,000.
Yeah.
The registered people who were able to vote was 1.8 million. Those that registered to vote were 1.4. And our Electoral Act says that you only vote in the constituency in which you are registered. And that is in Section 98, subsection 1 and 6. Unless by reason of absence you are not in that constituency, you don't vote in that constituency. And that is the reason why the ECN then was able to determine how many ballot papers to be printed.
Yeah.
And they, given the National Statistics Agency's population assessment, were given an idea. They went to register the voters in all the constituencies. They knew exactly how many voters were in each constituency, how many voters voted at each polling station. They knew all these statistics.
Mm-hmm.
And when they went to South Africa, they printed ballot papers based on the information the ECN provided them of how many polling stations there are in a constituency, how many voters in that constituency, how many voters in that region. That was done predetermined. So all those ballot papers that came to Hosea Kutako Airport were designated for specific constituencies. Now, there is something which is called voter suppression in electoral processes.
Mm-hmm.
Voter suppression is a mechanism of rigging elections that are such that you will not be able to evidently say it was employed. Now, it consists of, one, you designate polling stations, but you arrive late as the ECN at those polling stations to open them, and a lot of polling stations opened late. Number two, you come with inadequate number of polling ballots, And we know well, by 10 o'clock, a lot of the ballot papers ran out in polling stations. Yet you knew exactly how many to deliver to that polling station, how many to deliver to that constituency. You had a constituency center where people could come and get extra ballot papers should they run. And each constituency had a number of 10% of the total, just in case somebody goes vote in a constituency in which they don't belong. So no single constituency in the 121 constituencies should have run out of ballot papers.
Mm-hmm.
We had our strategy, we had our planning, but we did not realize that they were going to use the well-known Zimbabwean strategy of vote rigging by voter suppression. And we know Madam Sophia Shaningwa went to Zimbabwe just before the elections. We know that they were gone. We know that we were going to win those elections. SWAPO was convinced there was no way they can win that elections. And they needed to dispatch Honorable Sophia Shaningwa to Zimbabwe. In her own words, she said, of course, paraphrase it perhaps, we could not enter into those elections without speaking to our friends in ZANU-PF. Why did you go and look for electoral mercenaries to come and assist you in brackets win elections? If the electoral process was within the boundaries of Namibia, why did SWAPO party go to look for electoral mercenaries? That is the same as when we were fighting for the independence of our country, where South Africa was recruiting mercenaries around the world to fight against the liberation struggle. SWAPO used exactly the same things to go around the world looking for weapons of how to win the elections by rigging. They were not prepared for a fair game. IPC was prepared for a fair game.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely ridiculous. It's actually treason to deny the citizens of our republic their right to change governance, to change the entity that is governing them, to elect a party of their choice. Freedom of choice in Article 17 to participate to influence that was taken away. And SWAPO acknowledged it through their Secretary General, Sophia Shaningwa, Honorable Sophia Shaningwa, who went to Zimbabwe to look for mechanisms of how to steal the elections, to rig the elections. So voter suppression, don't open on time, don't give ballot papers, give defective equipment that cannot be repaired instantly, and then the other one, change the law. That was the crux of the matter.
Mm.
The law, when it was amended on the 14th of August in 2014, Honorable Namolo then came to Parliament and made a statement in the Hansards. When you go and read the Hansards, if you were in doubt as to why we changed from 2 days of polling to 1 day,
mm-hmm.
it was in the Hansards where it actually said that election will be conducted election will be conducted in 1 day. Now ask a grade 2, grade 4, grade 5 school child, what is 1 day if something is to be done in 1 day? They will tell you 1 day, not 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't want to ridicule anybody in my analysis.
Yeah. Doctor, please, may this not come off wrongly. We just have a scheduled commercial break. So let's just pause and allow that.
I'll come to that.
Yes, yes.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Okay, and we are back. Dr. You are busy talking about, of course, the law you left off. We speak about the law, the change of law in 2014. Can you continue to explain?
Yes. Yeah. So the electoral law was changed in 2014, and it was actually stated by the then Minister of Urban and Rural Development, Honorable Charles Dahuna Molo, that election will take place in one day. Now, that one day means 24 hours, and whether the time of balloting was now 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, that was not so significant. So one day meant one day. Now, when the ECN realized, and they know that, and I've already asked for the ECN chairperson and Elsie to be shown the door, and the same with Sharma, Peter Sharma, to be shown the door. Because you cannot be given the responsibility of being the custodian of our democracy, and then you conduct yourself in a manner which is contemptuous of the will of the Namibian people, and also conduct yourself incompetently to be able to conduct a process as significant to the democratic governance of our republic in a manner that actually leads you to seek alternative. The only thing that they could have done when their incompetence became transparent and they were not going to complete the process in one day is to call off the entire thing and to say, we failed, let's start again. But when there is a principle of rule of law, as I said previously, the law must be predictable. We need to know what one day means. It cannot be subject to interpretation by the judiciary. One day means one day. It also means that therefore it's predictable. And also it means that it must be transparent. Everybody need to know when you are going into a boxing ring, every round is 3 minutes. You cannot go in there and the referee then prolongs the round to 5 minutes. That is not the principle of rule of law. It also must be accountable. It must be do what is intended to do. And it must be of equal and impartial application to everybody. But here we have a situation where the voting in Namibia is one day. And then they go and get a proclamation from 1922. Proclamations are subordinate to a law and subordinate to a constitution. When we are talking about constitutional democracy and constitutional governance, we are governed according to a set of laws that are coded. We know them. And from them came statutory provisions, the acts of parliament that tells us a polling date, a polling day, nothing else. So we could not get technicalities in the interpretation of these laws, which grade 5 children will be able to say is one day, nothing else. And then we go and interpret it to mean 3 days. And for the judiciary to say the extra days were not polling days. If they were not polling days, hang on a minute. A wedding day is where there is a bride and a groom and they get married. Any other day is not a wedding day. It's perhaps a prolongation of the feast. But here we had a wedding day 3 times outside the laws. You know, I didn't know that that was possible. And I blame, I hope that one day they will be sleeping peacefully, but definitely they must have nightmares. What kind of judgment was that? You know, when we are talking about separation of powers, when the legislator, the lawmaker say one day, then it's one day. The executive carries it out, whether they carry it directly or send it out to the fourth branch of administration, the Electoral Commission of Namibia, to carry it out. They carry it out as per the legislator's intent. The legislator's intent was 24 hours, within those 24 hours. Whether you take 7 to 9 or whatever, 24 hours. And our strategy worked well because by the 9th hour, it was by 9 o'clock, it was evident that Itula is winning the presidency, IPC is winning the legislature. And that shock, they could not believe it.
Yeah.
And they had to go and break the law, every single principle, and seek the extend the voting time by Peter Shehama by an email that he sent out at 11, or is it 3 minutes to 11 or so, keep the polling stations open, a complete confusion. And this is why the irregularities that resulted in the declaration of a presidency in this country is an irregular precedent. And we can, you know, and unfortunately, the swearing in, the constitutional authority has been taken. But what we know is that our strategy to 2024 was successful. Mm-hmm. It worked. Mm-hmm. It was a winning strategy. Mm-hmm. We did win the elections. However, we had legal technical manipulation constructed and executed with the legal fraternity and the judiciary itself.
Mm-hmm.
And our strategy for 2024 brought us victory everywhere, especially in commerce. And it's the same strategy that we seek the Namibian people to implement so that we can transform Namibia, so that we can get ethical governance, constitutional democracy in the republic, to make absolutely sure that we can create our central thing. Principle is jobs for Namibians. Once we've got jobs, you will solve the problem of poverty, you'll solve the problem of hunger, you'll solve the problem of housing, sanitation, because you've got people who are working from whom you are drawing personal taxes. You have got people manufacturing from whom you are drawing the taxes on the commodities that are produced. So once you get jobs, you solve our woes. And I can see that the government now in their NDP6 made so many priorities. To the extent, to my conclusion, none of those are priorities anymore. Because if you put yourself too many priorities, you have got only a limited time in life, and you've got only a limited time in the governance of the republic through which you should execute those. And when you give yourself 100 priorities, hundreds of football grounds everywhere else with capacity of 30,000, when people that vote in that area are not even 30,000, you know, you have actually defeated the entire strategy and planning aspect of how you conduct your life yourself. So we cannot have a government that is so loose in its direction. In terms of ethics, we have seen how Her Excellency appointed people with ethical question marks on their conduct previously in government and those that has not been in government as lay ministers now. And when you have got people who have got potential risks of corruption, you know, if you have got somebody who's prepared to see a baby getting food and take the food away from the baby,
yeah,
and the baby stuff, I will never employ that person as a childminder. It's not possible. To come and employ people and give them jobs in this governance when we know they are corrupt is dangerous. Now, corruption is not something new in SWAPO.
Yeah.
And I will ask apologies to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll ask apologies if anybody feels offended before I say what I'm going to say. Liberation movements knew nothing called justice. They knew nothing about accountability. They knew nothing about responsibility of social care. What they had is liberation. Great. We got freedom.
Mm.
But what was the means of obtaining it? Liberation movements received funding. We used to campaign for funding in the UK. Anti-apartheid movement contributed. A lot of individuals contributed funding to liberation movements. They contributed even material support, militarily, etc., to liberation movement. But I have never seen a document in Namibia saying the accounts, financial accounts of SWAPO of Namibia, the liberation movement. And I know that Tatekulu Lucas Pohamba, His Excellency, is still alive, and he was the Secretary of Finance of the SWAPO of Namibia throughout the 80s. One day we will probably find him giving us his books to say, this money was received, this was used. What does this mean? It means that in political parties, one succeeded through allegiance, loyalty to another superior force. And when you've got that loyalty, you can do what you want to do. And that is exactly what SWAPO of Namibia transferred into SWAPO Party. They have never changed from a liberation movement to a governing party bound by the principles of constitutionality of their actions, legality of their actions. They went with the same principles of scratch my back and I'll scratch your back, loyalty to this leader, blind eye when I do this and blind eye when you do it, to the extent of ingovernance. Until we change the whole setup of the government, including the elements in it that comes from that old regime, this governance will not respect the constitutionality and the legality of governing and will never deliver the services to the people as accordance to the rule of law. So we've got a big problem in Namibia.
Yeah.
When we are talking about IPC transformational agenda, changing the manner in which we are governed, we are talking about eliminating and removing the rotten apples and creating a situation of absolute accountability, ethical governance, and making sure we've got one central theme, jobs, jobs, jobs. At the moment, SWAPO is corrupt, administration is corrupt, its governance principles is corrupt, it's killing Namibians, corruption kills, it's causing children to walk on the street begging, it's causing our hospitals to be without any medicine. Medicine rot, diamond rot, fish rot, all of this are associated with the SWAPO party, and they can't deny that. They've never denied that. If they deny that, then they will need to get rid of Shangalas out of prison. They know that they are corrupt. The Namibian people need to be helped to understand what corruption means and what we have been battling over the 5 years' existence of IPC and what we were trying to educate the Namibian people in terms of the civil education about the evils of corruption. And it will persist as long as the Namibian people continue to vote SWAPO. And there is no other political party. This principle of loyalty and allegiance, even smaller political party members that are actually in government at the moment in terms of parliament, they've got their loyalty to the SWAPO elites. And they get their givings, their presence from there. Don't rely on them to bring about transformation or change in the electoral processes that we are facing in November. The only party that is committed and that has never been found to associate with corruption, that denies people the basic services in the locality, in the region, and also in government, is the IPC. So our preparatory process in 2024 was such that we rescue the Namibian people out of this boiling pot, this magma, this red steam from the SWAPO party, and let them wake up to say, let's take one opportunity. After 5 years, there was consistency and persistency in the IPC. Itula is still Johnny Walker. He's still marching. He's still having his kanjafa on. He's still Tate Kanjafa. You know, notwithstanding the intention of ridicule that was associated with those names then. We are still consistent, and the preaching of what we want is still consistent. What we need is the Namibian people, especially in the November elections, to give us ultimate majority in all the local authority council elections and to give us majority in all the regional councils so that we can delegate 3 from each region into the national council. And when the laws are being scrutinized in the national council, we've got a strong added power there. At the same time, we are not sitting down. We are also looking at the separation of power. When you make the law, the other person carries it out.
Yeah.
And the other person implement it. Mm-hmm. So we cannot have lawmakers who are also the law executors. Mm-hmm. Every single cabinet minister who is a member of parliament by our constitution so appointed in terms of Article 32 by the president into the cabinet or Article 35, we will ensure that they don't have a voting power in the National Assembly, because you cannot bring a piece of bill into the Assembly and you vote on it, you will be in conflict of interest. And the separation of power is, we are the lawmaker, you go, here is the law, implement it. So that has been the nature of governance in Namibia for all the 35 years, and it was contradictory to Article 1-2 of 1-3 of the Namibian constitution that makes provision, not explicitly but implicitly, of separation of power. And all the other countries around the world that practices the presidency, the dual nature of the presidency and the parliament, like America, the president doesn't sit and his cabinet doesn't sit in the Congress to make the laws. They are there executing them. And they don't come, they can influence, but they don't come in that chamber of the Congress to vote. Because that is the contradiction. And that is what we are doing here. We should either choose in Namibia to go a full presidential system or a full proportional representation system of a parliamentary system, where the parliament, like in South Africa then, elects a president and not elected by the sovereign. We also have got this unfortunate situation, and the nation need to watch out. And I want to caution Honorable Sankwasa, don't push the amendment of the Regional Authorities Act to empower the appointed governors, because that will be unconstitutional, because the sovereign that elects the regional councillors has empowered them, and they must be accountable to the sovereign, to the voters, not accountable to an appointed governor who is accountable to the appointing authority, the president. Here is the little signs of authoritarianism and dictatorship creeping into the democratic process of Namibia. So that the Namibian electorate, once you've got the governor to whom the regional councillors and the local authority councillors are accountable to, they will no longer be accountable to the people that voted for them. The consequence also is this, that those local authorities, if they happen to be IPC and the president is not IPC, as is the case now, the president will direct the governor to direct the regional council and the local authority what they should be doing. So every time that IPC, as is the case in Walvis Bay, wishes to give services to the people of Walvis Bay, the SWAPO party individuals comes in. And then they say, don't give the services. They don't do that. A recent eviction order was issued out to a property occupied illegally by citizens. And they were supposed to be evicted. Yes, a wrong does not resolve a wrong. The person shouldn't come and destroy the properties that was trespass as well. But the SWAPO Youth League members were there to hand a petition over on behalf of the residents. We cannot have governance interfered with by a political party pretending to be the residents. That is wrong too. And I caution the leadership of Erongo, from the governor to the regional councillors, the local authority councillors, that we cannot allow injustice to triumph in Erongo. So, 2024, we did not succeed, because there was electoral manipulation by electoral messeries, which was basically an electoral coup d'etat. Because when you go there, and it's a criminal offense, And we will ask the ECN to find out how this could be prohibited. Because anyone doing anything according to Section 43 of the Anti-Corruption Act to benefit anyone else, it's a criminal offense. And therefore, we hope in the next elections, the Anti-Corruption Commission will pay a particular attention and perhaps be present in the ECN and all the electoral places if they can afford it, to make sure no corrupt practices leading to the denial of the people's vote takes place during that electoral process. So 2024 is a success strategy and the planning went well. Of course, there were hiccups, etc., and we cannot have a party in the past 5 years that has had no problems. Yes, we had people who thought that this is the green fields of Namibia. Let's go and eat. It's not the case in IPC. Some of them, whom I thank for their contribution to IPC as it is now, decided to resign from IPC. There is nothing we actually can do in IPC to prevent that. And at the same time, we are not going to be the first party that people resign from. You know, ANC had so many people resigning. SWAPO of Namibia had Chipangas, the Dipo Amtenyas, may his soul rest in peace, the Ben Ulengas, the Shihuamenis, may his soul rest in peace, and all the others. Resignation for political parties is your own freedom to exercise voluntarily.
Yeah.
And therefore, it should not be made an asset. Mm-hmm. What people should understand is that when you resign, you'll be the center of attraction from the newspapers. But after a day, you are old news, the people move on. Where are they now? Some of them are now coming to say, can we join? No, you need to join according to principles, and you don't resign because you don't like somebody. You know, you don't resign because you don't like your in-laws. No, you didn't marry your in-laws. So you married your husband or your wife. So stay stuck to that principle. So I wish everybody well in those 5 years that were really fundamental in the foundation and bringing about the IPC. They contributed significantly wherever they are, whether they are no longer members of IPC. And it's critically important that we give our particular thanks to the driver of the engine, our National General Secretary. Administratively, we work hand and glove together, and that is the person that has pushed so much. Our interaction between ourselves and the regional leadership and the constituency leadership, and also the manner in which we conduct our headquarters, it's the most administratively efficiently administered political party in the entire Republic of Namibia. And in fact, when we got 20% of the votes, we became the very first political party in Africa to achieve that. They had no choice but to give us all of that percentage of votes, even if they rug it. And it means, I don't know, the past tense of rigging is rigging, isn't it? Right. Rugged. Anyway, I hope that the Oxford Dictionary will help me. Nonetheless, we became the first political party from West Africa, North Africa, Central and Southern Africa to achieve that feat of 20% of the seats. And of course, we now have got 22 of our members of parliament, two in the National Council, people forget them, and 20 in the bottom, in the National Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them have been designated shadow portfolios. Now, it's perfectly fine to give responsibilities of portfolios to people in opposition. However, as long as Namibia's constitution and laws do not recognize the role of the official opposition and those designated for those portfolios, democratic governance and constitutional governance in the Republic of Namibia will not be able to have the checks and balances. To have that checks and balances, there must be a power authorized from which those checks and balances is going to be activated.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, the opposition political parties in parliament can raise their voices, as long as they are able to be defeated by an electoral process inside there, there is nothing you can do. So an opposition political party in Namibia's conduct is not important. It's not significant. It contributes nothing. What does it mean in the manner in which our laws are put together? It means that the minority in any democracy, equality is a principle. And minorities' equalities must be respected. Those that voted for IPC, albeit that they were in the minority and shrunk into the 20%, views must still be recognized. And we need, in the next 5 years, to amend our constitution. Having actually dug our roots deeper, we will now need to come and transform the manner in which we are governed. And one of those will be to amend the constitution to ensure that the voice of the minorities are also recognized, especially in the fourth branch of governance, in the commissioners, etc., so that the opposition, the official opposition in the Republic of Namibia, having been given a mandate by the people of Namibia, albeit in the minority, will be able to be empowered by law, by constitution, to be able to participate in the appointments of, for example, the Electoral Commission of Namibia, all the other commission is Public Services Commission, and also in the Police Commission, in the Judiciary as well. But we also need to work towards a very fundamental principle in the checks and balances and the separation of power, that of a truly independent judiciary. A judiciary appointed by the people, not by one person or by one group of people, but a judiciary that is appointed by the people, accountable and serving the people, and ensuring the balances of our organs of government is properly catered for in the laws of the Republic. Until such time that we come to a point where our judiciary is in principle, in action and in deeds independent from the executive and not coerced, threatened, influenced by the executive in their decision-making processes, we will truly have a constitutional democracy. But in the absence of the separation of powers truly implemented and validly so, we will not have a constitutional democracy, neither will we have governance based on the principles of rule of law. Because the manipulation of the rule of law will result in an unlawful conduct by a lawfully empowered official of government. Notwithstanding Article 18, which says that officials and administrative bodies of government must be reasonable and fair and comply with the relevant statutory provision, relevant legislation. In this regard of 2024 elections, the ECN did not comply with the relevant legislation that said election in one day. If it was the case, and the extensions were made, and it was pronounced and was adhered to, the ECN failed in their incompetence, the Republic of Namibia, and future generations will know that. And IPC will take no slaves. IPC will capture no war soldiers. IPC will deal with those that actually got into the situation of compromising an electoral process, and also creating an electoral coup d'etat. They may now go and look for mercenaries around Africa, and I saw their allegiance in the recent Liberation Movement Summit in South Africa, where they talked about us exercising our democratic right to form and join political parties and participate in electoral processes as agents of imperialism. Now, for a president of a country to go and talk about their own people as agents of imperialism, yet we've got imperialists' resource management in Namibia, it's a little bit taking it too far. They should be able to enhance and embrace democratic constitutional principles and allow people to participate in political activities as is their constitutional right, but not label them as imperialists. If you do so, then you have failed in your oath of office to protect uphold the Constitution of the Republic and its tenets, including the rights of citizens to participate in political activities. And also this archaic liberation movement summit should come to an end. We should now give our people freedoms to choose what is right for them, not based on historical factors. You are appointed as minister because your father was a minister. That is archaic and that is authoritarian dictatorship. We cannot seek liberation movements to dictate to the democratic people of Southern Africa as to what the direction of governance will be. And I seek all peaceful, loving Namibians to understand that these are clandestine activities by liberation movements to deny us our constitutional democratic right. It should not be allowed. We will obviously issue statements, but we will act on them as well to make sure Namibians are not denied. Uncle Nyoma, our founding father, said on Independence Day, never again should Namibia be occupied by a foreign force, whether it's ideologically or physically. Yeah. We will honor that legacy.
Doctor, thank you so much for this time and sharing with us IPC's fifth anniversary and achievements. Now, of course, in terms of, you've always been an advocate for constitutional educational campaigns. We do have, a text by somebody that has been following, and they say, since the regional and local authority election is this year on the 26th of November 2025, can Dr. Itula come with a radio educational campaign about this on Eagle FM? And they say, we really still don't understand how to vote this regional and local authorities. And they think that they do understand, but majority of them apparently do not understand. So I should apparently ask you so that you can come and educate them. Doctor, what do you have to say in terms of that?
Well, I think that's the most fundamental question I've ever been asked on Eagle FM.
Oh my.
A citizen realizing that civil education is important to recognizing the power you hold in your hand when you go and make that cross. When you make that cross, you delegate your right, constitutional right, to self-determination to someone else to determine your affairs, social and economical. At the local level, they will determine the tariffs on your water, tariffs on your electricity, your roads, the school in your environment, the hospitals also determined locally in terms of the local authority. But its procurement principles are from the central government. But understanding what takes place in the locality and in the region for those who do not fall under village or town councils, where the regional councillor, for example, in Tubises and in areas of where the Topnar marginalized community live, they are under a regional councillor. When you go around, the majority of our people are in the rural environment where they fall under the regional governance. And that is important to note, that the majority of the rural community, 1.49 or 1.5, is almost equal from the National Statistics Agency, that we've got 1.5 in the rural and 1.5 in the towns. Half of our people's services is dependent on the regional council.
Yeah.
For the last 30 years, if you had problems in the regional council, if you have problems in the rural communities of water, schools, or anything, it's because your regional councillor did not work well. I'm so impressed with Paulus Mbangu. I'm so impressed with Mupetami and Terako, three regional councillors that I single out is really responsive to the needs of the people. If we get 121 of our regional councils responsive to the needs of the local communities, then our people will not ever again complain on not getting services. This is the coal face. This is a place where the services are given. And this is where it's important. And I'll come to that in subsequent appearances on Eagle, to educate the villagers and everybody why you need to vote. Why you need to vote for your daughter,
for your son, for their future, your grandchildren, why you need to vote in order for you to get a borehole, to get a football ground, for people to play, why you need to vote to get drugs out of our communities, to bring about a political party that governs with respect to the needs of our people and protecting our people. Drugs has become a menace in our communities. And our political leaders from the SWAPO party in the majority that are actually working as regional councils seemingly condone these evils. Alcohol is flourishing.
Yeah.
And our regional councillors are not creating alternatives to engage the young people who are frustrated because there are no jobs. And this is why we are saying we've got only one priority in IPC, creating jobs for the Namibian people so that they can get their pride back, their humanity back to be able to do that. Yes, we will be doing a lot of civil education, and IPC is the only political party that feels that it's accountable to the people, that feels that we need to pay money to Eagle, and thanks for Eagle for providing that opportunity, a freedom of association to interact and to trade. We pay the money and Eagle give us the waves so that we can communicate to the people of Namibia. And if the people of Namibia wants to participate in this educational process, of course, listen to Eagle FM. And I'm not here to promote FM or illegal FM. I am here to say we will be speaking on Eagle and we'll also be speaking on Shipi Radio. These are the stations that allows us to come to them. NBC is so restrictive, you know, and when we actually put anything there, they want to manipulate it. They want to do something to it. They don't allow us to speak directly to the nation. We will challenge them. Let NBC Radio say, Dr. Itula, come and pay us. We'll give you 2 hours like Eagle does and you'll speak to the nation. Mm. They've never done it before.
Yeah.
And I'll challenge the director. I don't know his name, Similion, or the chairperson of the board, my dear friend, Lazarus Jacob. Let's get on NBC. We'll pay you a reasonable fare and we'll be able to say that you are really a mouthpiece of the nation.
Mm.
After all, it's national, Namibia Broadcasting. If you are a national broadcasting entity, why don't you allow even the official opposition a free time to come and speak unhindered, uncensored?
Selective?
You know, that is what we will say. We'll definitely educate our public and we'll ensure when you go into the November election, you know why you should go and make that cross. It doesn't matter whether you are 10 in the house and you decide in that house, I'm not going to vote that political party SWAPO because for 35 years they've been there, councillor this when I was born, honorable this when I finished school and university, and but nothing has been delivered. It is time in November, and I've heard a lot of people in the 4O region saying they are all going to vote for IPC. If that happened, it would be the biggest happiness for all Namibians. In the South, it's the same message. From Grunau, from Aroab, from Kiet Mansop, they are all saying they are going to vote for IPC. It's the same story that we are hearing in Omaheke and in Kunene as well, that the public is now awake, they are going to vote for IPC. Right. Come to the Eagle FM that we will be occasionally coming on to educate you why you should be voting for IPC. We don't want you to vote blindly. We want you to vote for policies. Just remember, if there's a local authority that has got 7 councillors, if you give us 2 or 3 places there by your vote, we will not be able to do anything. We need you to give us all the 7 places there by voting overwhelmingly for IPC. It's the same in the city of Windhoek. If you give us just 4 out of 15 places, there is nothing we can do in terms of democracy, in terms of decision making. But if you give us 10, 11, 12 positions there, we will be able to do what you want us to do. And we'll be able to carry out our promises, our social contract between the public and ourselves when you elect us in the local authority. Remember, the most important governance of the republic is in the local authority and the regional authority, because that's where you, the voter, interact with government more and not so much outside the principle itself. Just a little bit of a distraction behind me there. So that caller, has asked the most important question, mm-hmm. and I hope that everybody will come and listen to the next episodes of IPC, The Voice to the People.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Doctor, you're always welcome right here on Eagle FM.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for making time for us this evening.
Thank you.
Now, with that being said, you've just listened to the voice of the leader of the official opposition party and also the president of IPC, Dr. Panduleni Itula. Now, from Indafa, happy issue, it is goodbye. Make sure that you're always tuned into Eagle FM right here, your number one talk radio station throughout 24 hours per day so that you can be well informed, whether it's political, social, economic, so that you can make the right decisions well informed. And you know, the doctor spoke about ignorance, and so knowledge is power. With that being said, also make sure that you do subscribe to our The Villager e-paper out every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. All you have to do is send a text message to 0812004144. Now, if you have missed out on this conversation, you can head over to our podcast session. All you have to do is download the Eagle FM app and you can listen right to it. Now, from Indafa, happy Juju, it is goodbye. Have yourself a wonderful evening.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipura nenge no wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fana Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ila konderewa mura etatu natu bali o etatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.